The second question tonight is this: will we go to heaven even if we sin on earth? So let me say that again. Will we go to heaven even if we sin on earth? All right, that's another great question. I love getting these questions. They just juice me up. They excite me. I'm just that kind of guy, I guess. I don't know. But I really like getting these questions. And this is a great one. First of all, let's talk about sin and what sin is and what sin does. Because I think that's at the root of the question here. Will we go to heaven even if we sin on earth? Sin is, of course, a violation of God's law. It's transgressing God's law. It's not doing what God wants us to do with our life. And when we sin, the Bible says that we separate ourselves from God. And Isaiah, turn to Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 59 and verses 1 and 2. And this is a text we all ought to have memorized because it really does teach us about what sin does to our relationship with God. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. It says this: "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear." So God's hand is not wilted up so that he can't save us, and his ear isn't so weighted down or so clogged up that he can't hear what we're saying. So what's the problem? The problem isn't with God. That's what Isaiah is trying to get across to us. But here's what he says in verse 2. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." And so you see, when we sin, we're the ones that separate ourselves from God. God is a holy God. He's pure. He's completely separated from the transgressions that go on in the minds and the actions of men. And so, because God is pure and holy, he can't sin. He's not tempted with sin, neither does he tempt anyone else with sin, James tells us in James chapter 1. And so, God is holy, and that's what holiness means. It means to be separated from all of the things that we get corrupted with on the earth, and sin corrupts us. And so, when the Bible says that sin separates us from God, it means that here's a holy God, and here we are as created beings. When we come into the world, we're holy. As a newborn created beings, we're holy, and we're in fellowship with God as little babies. But then when we grow up, sin creeps into our lives. It starts to take over. We start to commit sin within our lives, and as a result, we separate ourselves from God. And God, who is holy, he stays where he's always been. But we're the ones who have moved away from him, you see. We're the ones who have gone off into the far country that Jesus talks about when he tells the story of the prodigal son. And so what happens then is a lot of people will say, well, this is all God's fault, you know, because of this situation. Well, it's not really God's fault. It's our fault. It's our fault for sinning, and we need to take responsibility for those sins in which we are involved and own up to the fact that we have sinned. Moreover, the Bible teaches that not one single person is immune from sin. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." And verse 10 says, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." So nobody can say who's of a responsible age, nobody can say that they haven't sinned, because everyone has sinned, okay? And the only those very young children and some persons with mental handicaps are not responsible individuals, and as a result of not being responsible, they don't sin. But the rest of us do. By far, the vast majority of people in the world are involved in sin. Now, because we sin, we earn something as a result of that sin. And what we earn is death, or separation from God. The wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. So, we talked about sin a little bit. Now let's talk about heaven and what heaven is a little bit. And so keep those things in mind about sin. And now let's think about some things in respect to heaven. The Bible teaches that heaven is the place where God dwells. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. And his eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. Psalm 11 and verse 4. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 1 reads, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest?" So heaven is God's throne. It's where the God's dwelling place. He lives in heaven. And so that's where God is, and that's where He manifests His ultimate glory. If you turn over to Revelation chapter 4 and read that chapter, we're not going to read all of it, but if you look at that, that's where God, that's a picture of the throne room of God, and that's telling us that God's greatest manifestation of Himself is in that place, and that's in heaven. And we'll read chapter 4, verse 1, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald." And so God is very beautiful. "Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their head. And from the thrones proceeded lightning, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." So there's power at the throne of God. "Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back." So, all of these things. Now look at verse 8. "The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they did not rest night or day, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." So God's throne is in heaven, and that's where God lives. And so God lives and dwells in heaven. And now we'll go back to what we talked about earlier. The person who sins separates himself from God. He makes it so that he can't come into the presence of God because of his sin. And so because he cannot dwell with God, and God dwells in heaven, where does that leave the sinner to dwell? Well, not in heaven. There's only one other place, and Jesus talks about that place in Matthew 25, verse 41. He says, it's the place prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, they don't want to live in heaven, and they don't want to be with God, and so God prepared a special place for them. And we refer to that place sometimes as hell. And that's where they're going to be, and that's where everyone who sins and who continues in sin without repenting of sin, that's where they will be for eternity as well. Not because of anything that God has done, but because of what we have done, because the wages of sin is death. Now, the question, will we go to heaven even if we sin on earth? Now, there's another side to this question we haven't answered yet. Now, the first answer is, we will not if we continue in our sins and we don't do anything about those sins and we don't take responsibility for those sins. But there is another answer to this question. There's another side of this question. And that has to do with what God has done to save the sinner from the fate of being eternally separated from Him. We read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, "But God commends His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The rest of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, we read the first part last time, that the wages of sin is death, but the rest of that is this: "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, so it's not all hopeless. It's not to the point where there's nothing that can be done. God has done something. He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross so that the penalty for sin could be paid, so that anyone who desires to avoid that fate of being separated from God eternally can avoid that by believing upon the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. So the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so what God is telling us is that by virtue of what Jesus has done, the sinner may be forgiven of sin and dwell with God in heaven in spite of the fact that he has sinned. However, to be forgiven of sin, one must believe in Jesus by obeying the gospel of Christ. Note 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9 in that regard. It says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and listen, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." What will happen to these who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? They will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. So only those who do not obey the gospel of Christ will be punished from the presence of the Lord. This means that if we obey the gospel of Christ, then we will be saved, despite the fact that we have sinned. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9 affirms this as well. It says, "In being made perfect, He, that is Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him." We obey the gospel by obeying what Jesus said to do to become a child of God. And this is summed up best in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, when Jesus Himself says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And so that's in short what we need to do. We need to believe and we need to be baptized. And that's what Jesus said. If we obey the gospel, we will not fall away from the and do not fall away from the faith, then we shall be saved, and God promises that we will dwell with Him in heaven forever, even if we have sinned. Revelation 21 and verse 3 says this, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." And that is what will happen with those who, although they have sinned, yet repent of those sins, turn to God, obey the gospel of Christ, and live faithfully for Him. Will we go to heaven if we sin on earth? We will not go to heaven if we sin and are impenitent of those sins and do not obey the gospel of Christ. We will go to heaven if we sin, we repent of those sins, and we obey the gospel of Christ, then we will go to heaven. And so there's two answers to this question as well. You know, sometimes these questions aren't so simple that they just have, you know, one answer. We got to think about everything that's involved in the situation there. So will we go to heaven even if we sin on earth? There's a circumstance in which we will not, and there's a circumstance in which we will. And so God has promised to forgive us of our sins if we put our faith and trust in Him. Is that something that you need to do tonight? We ask that question openly, honestly, candidly, in thinking about each one of our spiritual states so as to try to reason with everyone. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, "Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." We're seeking to persuade one another in order that we might go to heaven together. What would you have your fate be? Would you be separated from God for eternity, or would you be with Him forever and live with Him? The question is up to you as to what you will want to do. God has given everyone free will to make that choice. And tonight, the opportunity to make the choice to obey the gospel of Christ is before you. You can do that this very evening if you're a Christian, but you haven't been living faithfully, and you want to make a choice to return back to Him tonight so that you can avoid that fate of eternal separation with God. Then we encourage you to do that. We strongly encourage you to do that tonight because we want to be with you when we go to heaven and be with God with Him. And so whatever your need may be this evening, you can come now and we will help you with those needs while together we stand and sing this song of encouragement.